All right, everybody, welcome back to StadiaCast. I'm Bill, that's Lloyd. Lloyd, how are you doing, man?
I am doing okay now that I'm not muted. I'm doing great, man. I look different. I look very different right now.
Yeah, you look like zoomed in a little more. The picture quality is a whole lot better, and you look very pasty.
I do look very pasty. So I got a new camera. Thanks to Hearts of War for donating a camera. It is ridiculously awesome compared to my webcam that I was using. But I've moved all my lights around, and I haven't done enough checking to make sure that my white balance is done. So I look like I am a ghost. I am very pale because I do live in Canada, but I'm not this pale. this is an extreme amount of paleness.
Oh, and they're also noticing that you're not wearing a hat.
Yeah. I got a haircut for the first time in like 6 months, which is great.
There you go. All right. Hey, everybody. We do StadiaCast here on Sundays at 10 a.m. Over on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/nerdnest. So head on over there. Click all of the buttons. If you're here with us live, click all those buttons as well. If you want to make sure that we see your message, you can use the super chat function, but we will answer questions in chat as we see them. We start every episode with what you've been playing. So, Lloyd, what you been playing?
A fair bit. We got new pro games. If you people out there don't know that it's a new month, which means new pro games. So this month we got 5 games. We got Dawn of the Monsters, Race with Ryan, Adam Wolf. I'm blanking on the other ones because they're not at the start of my library.
Darksiders Genesis.
Yeah, I'm trying to Darkwood. Is that the
one? Darkwood. Yeah.
It's one of those names where like every game sounds exactly the same and they're all like dead, dark, whatever. There's been too many games like that. So I kicked it off on March 1st, checking out Dawn of the Monsters because I love me a good beat 'em up and I love kaiju movies. And this is the blending of both of those with some really cool, unique elements into it. I'm really enjoying Dawn of the Monsters. I know you've played it as well, Bill. So I don't know. What are your thoughts on this title?
So overall, I think that, well, first off, I really, really like the art style. Everything's very comic booky. Like when they have call outs, like in the top of the screen, it looks like it's been cut out of a comic panel.
Right.
The world has like this 3D, three-dimensionalness to it, but still 2D. It's like a 2D, 3D kind of thing. And I really like the way that the monsters and the characters look. So art style, I'm going to give this game like a 9. It's just so fantastic. Everything about the art style speaks to me. Gameplay-wise, right, I think it's pretty good. I am not like, I'm so bad at these brawlers, like the side-scrolling brawlers, because I know that it's all about rhythm when hitting the buttons and getting the right combos. But for me, I just like smash those buttons as fast as I can. And it's not really the right way to play. As I was playing through, I like that you have like a dash attack. You've got a heavy attack and a light attack. And you can also like do a charge on the heavy attack. And then your light attack has a certain number of combos that you can use. But then you also have, I forget what they're called, so people in chat can remind me if they remember. You have like these attacks which use your rage meter. So as you're fighting and beating things up, you build these little rage pips underneath your health bar, and different moves use up different amounts of pips. And so basically, when you hit the, I think it's the block button, it brings up like a little menu of your three possible rage attacks. I can't remember what they're called. And then you can pick between them based on how many pips you have. At first I was very confused because I was like, why can't I fire this off? But once I got two of them, that's when I finally understood it, because it was differentiated. I could see that this one had like one little bar next to it and this one had two little bars next to it. So I really, really like that. I love the idea that when you down somebody, you can utilize those rage points to heal yourself by doing like an execution style move, which is very cool. And then you also have like your super crazy nuke ability, which like wipes out a bunch of stuff on screen. gameplay wise, fantastic. Then they have the RPG-ness to it, where you finish a match and at the end you get like this randomized loot, which is like abilities that you can slot into your monsters, and each monster gets three slots that they can put stuff in, and it looks like that stuff is randomized, so you can then re-roll it if you want to get better ones or maybe worse ones. Everything about it is really, really good. I just wish I was better at it. So what are your thoughts on the game?
Yeah, I was really surprised by the kind of random element to it. So depending on how you do in each mission, so missions will be divided up into sections, and you get rated on each section. So you can get an F all the way up to an S rank. And depending on how well you do, so if you get S rank all the way up and you get a really high score, your end score for that mission will be maybe an S rank or an A or whatever. But based on those ranks, you unlock a different number of upgrades, the little things that you slot into your monsters, slot 1, 2, and 3. And depending on how well you do, it upgrades them as well. So you might just get like a tier 1 green slot 1, slot 2, and slot 3 thing to choose from. But if you do really, really well, you are possibly going to get a blue one, or maybe even higher colored ones. I haven't seen them yet in the game. I'm only going through world 1 right now. And that's really interesting. It encourages replay, because if you want to maybe farm some upgrades, you might want to go back to early missions where you can get an S rank on everything and just try to upgrade your greens to blues. That's not something that I expected in this game. On top of that, all four monsters have different skills and powers. It's very much like old school beat 'em ups, where you'd have like in Final Fight, you'd have Hager, very slow but super strong, but then you'd have the Guy, which is super fast and does a lot of like really fast attacks. It's just like that. Really impressive. I didn't know what to expect with this one. It's done by a Canadian company, Canadian studio, which is really funny. The first world is takes place in Toronto, which is really funny. As you're going through the level, there's like Maple Leafs signs that are destroyed, which I love because I hate the Maple Leafs, but I think they put them in there because they like the Toronto Maple Leafs, and a bunch of other things like that. Like the upgrade system. So you get money for doing good, completing levels, and then you can take that money and buy permanent upgrades, like permanent health upgrades or permanent stamina upgrades. Or you can use that money to buy different skins for the four monsters that are in the game. So it has a whole bunch of just interesting little mechanics that are all tied in together to this beat 'em up, which is really fun. There's no achievements. So I know a lot of people have been complaining about that, that people that are into collecting all the achievements in it. So hopefully that'll come at a later point. But this is a game that we get 2 weeks early on Stadia. It doesn't come out till the 15th on every other platform that it's coming out on. So this is really cool. I really am enjoying it. I want to play multiplayer. That's something that I wanted to do yesterday, but we got bogged down with some other stuff. So hopefully today I'm going to do some multiplayer with the family, because I think this would be just a blast with four people stomping around with monsters, doing the assassination moves one thing actually I forgot to say, the little upgrades that you can get, sometimes they give you special powers. So I've unlocked a bunch of them where if you do an assassination, it stuns all the other enemies that are near it. Or if you do an assassination, you get a boost to your stamina and things like that. So I want to see how it's going to play when you have four people on screen that all have these crazy powers, and someone does an assassination and everybody lights on fire or whatever, or someone does a good combo, someone does an item throw where you pick up a building and throw it. All those have the potential to just cause your different abilities to proc. And it's going to be insane when you have four people on the screen doing that. So I'm hopeful that I can do that this week. I don't know if I'm going to do four players, maybe only three players. We'll see what happens. I'm really enjoying Dawn of the Monsters, a game that looks beautiful, performs beautiful, and it's a better brawler than I worried that it might have been. Mm-hmm. So I'm really, really enjoying Dawn of the Monsters.
Yeah, I also I like that you can build your character the way that you want. So like some of those things that go in the slots, I can't remember what they're called, but some of those things that you get will have like boost your damage with heavy attacks after you use light attacks. And then yep. you can get another one that basically says make your light attacks faster or something like that. So yep. You can very much customize the way that your characters play. And I like that each character has a different feel to them. I only played with two of them so far. One was like a robot that was driven by a woman, and then the other one was the one that you start with, which looks like Godzilla or whatever. And sure. I liked the robot better because I felt like I had more ranged options, and like that's the kind of thing that's always really good in these kind of games, because having different types of gameplay are going to appeal to different types of players, and just having one type of gameplay is always going to be a problem. So I really like that they have these different characters. But that's essentially it for the amount of gaming on Stadia that I've done. This week I had a ton of work to do, and then my wife had to have an appendectomy. So It's been crazy around here, so you're going to have to carry us for the rest of these games. You also played Race with Ryan?
Yeah. I've played two of the other pro games. Just one other thing on Dawn of the Monsters that I forgot to mention. My biggest complaint about the game is there's no online multiplayer without using some sort of like server that runs in between you to set up as a second player. Like there's Parsec and a couple other things that people have been talking about on the Stadia Discord Stadia subreddit. But there's no online multiplayer, which is really surprising. This would be a fun game to get together with three of your buddies and stomp through cities and beat up monsters. So hopefully that will come with a future patch.
Yeah, you just reminded me, I have a complaint about the game too, and I'm wondering if it was just me. Was the volume incredibly low for you? Like I was playing here at my PC. I had it turned all the way up, and I was like, I can barely hear the dialogue. And I didn't go in and check and see if Stadia was doing that goofy thing with like surround sound or anything. But did you notice that it was kind of quiet?
No, but I did have to reset my my Shield Pro before I played it the first time because I had no volume. So there's definitely some issues depending on what device you use to play streaming games these days. It seems like there's some issues with like the Android TV, latest Android TV updates. So I played first off on my web browser and it was perfectly fine. So not sure. Maybe try it again.
All right, I will. let's hear about the game that I actively went through and said, mm-hmm. do not add to my library. Yeah. Google, please give us a way to sort our library so I can just hit claim all and then take that game and hide it so I never have to look at it. It wouldn't be a big deal if I didn't have to page through a billion things from left to right when I'm playing on PC. It's just so frustrating. And I don't want this in my library, but I want to use the claim all button. So it's definitely a first world problem, but you claimed it. You've played it. What do you think of Race with Ryan?
So again, last episode we talked about it. This is a game for the young ones. It's based on a YouTube channel where a kid opens presents or toys. That's how it started out. This kid makes millions of dollars a year opening toys with his family and stuff like that. But it's a game based on that. So when you start the game, it has this little kid, like, I don't know how old he is. I don't care to look into it. But he's like, he looks like he's 6 or 7. And he's like, hi, I'm Ryan, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, okay, skip. Let's get through that. And I was like, I don't want to have creepy kids popping up on my gameplay while I try this game out. But it does something interesting. Every time that you fire a weapon or get hit, you remember Mortal Kombat 2? You remember the guy that would pop up and say, Toasty?
Yeah.
It's that kind of thing, except it's that little kid. He pops up and he's like, oh, no, or yay, got him. And it's like every 5 seconds, this little child pops up on my screen. And it's just like, hey, this is not a game for me. But anyway, I played through a couple cups. This is the best kart racer by far on Stadia. The game itself is fantastic. There's some issues. Your camera is like right behind your head. So if you're going around a corner, you can't see. So you have to kind of know the map as you're going around it. So if they took the camera and pulled it back, back a few feet and up a few feet, and then got rid of the little toasty guy popping up every 5 seconds, this is a really fun kart racer. But man, I'm not about to play this game for any stretch, just because of the little child that pops up on my screen and then talks about how fun it was to race through the pizza cup. Everybody loves the pizza cup. And I'm like, oh my God, skip, 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 skip. So anyway, this is a great game for kids. It has auto steer and auto drive, just like the recent Mario Kart. So if you have really young ones, you can give them a controller, turn auto on for everything, and then they can use the triggers to drift and to fire their weapons. And the weapons on top of it are not like violent. Like you throw a paper airplane, that's like your red shell is like a paper airplane. You can throw a tennis ball or a soccer ball in front of you or behind you. There's like glue traps. There's toxic waste traps that you can drop on the ground. So it's not a super violent game, but the camera angle, little kids popping their face up on screen, some other things is going to keep me from enjoying this title. But it is the best kart racer on Stadia, which is doubly as sad. Like I said last episode, this is like some Monkey Paw kind of thing where someone wished with the Monkey Paw for a kart racer, and then they're granted a kart racer, but it's this one, which isn't so good for people that aren't like 5, 6, 7, like that age demographic.
Yeah, I imagine that toasty pop-up is there to keep the kid engaged, because mm-hmm. if they don't have something new popping up on the screen every 10 seconds or something, they're going to get bored. That's just the way it is. We've learned that, and so now they are designing the game around that. And look, I'm fine with games that are not for me. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, 100%. There are many games out there that are not for me, and that's okay. Not every game has to be for every person, and I'm not interested in this game. I just wish that I could claim it and hide it so that I could just never see it again. And, you know, I'm going to be a grandpa in like 2 months, so, you know, if I had it claimed, then, mm-hmm. you know, my grandson would be able to play it in a couple, three or 4 years or something, which would be really cool, but I don't want to see it. Like, I don't want to constantly have that thing in my library. So I hope that they fix that kind of stuff. But I'm glad that you got your wish, Lloyd.
Yeah, I was going to say what you can always do this, Bill. You can claim it. Start or not start it, but then play every other game in your library so that game gets pushed right to the end. I mean, that's doable with like 200 games in your library, right, Bill?
Yeah, it'd be down there with Farming Simulator 2019. Yeah. Or yeah, exactly. What was the one that launched with State Shadow
Samurai Warrior.
Samurai Showdown. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, it's a good game. Like from a gameplay standpoint, it is a good kart racer with a camera problem. If they got rid of that camera problem, it would be great. I guess my biggest complaint, other than little toasty kid popping up every 5 seconds, is that when you beat the hard cup, it doesn't automatically complete the medium and easy cup. So you actually have to play each cup 3 times if you want to get all the trophies or all the achievements in the game for achievement hunters. So
see, now the pessimist, let me get rid of my flat cap and grab a tinfoil hat here for a second. That's so that people will play the game, because it's a pro game, right? Mm-hmm. And basically Google pays more if your game gets played more. So if people are out there hunting for their achievements and, you know, they got to beat it on easy, they got to beat it on medium, they got to beat it on hard, they got to beat it on extreme, they got to beat it on backwards, they got to do all these different things. That's a lot more gameplay time so that you can get those fake points on Stadia Hunters or whatever. And then they are going to make more money. So, tinfoil hat back off. That's probably not it. They probably just designed the game the way that they like to design the games, and that's fine. People in chat are saying that it would be awesome if Asphalt 9 Legends came to Stadia. Mm-hmm. I think I installed that on my phone once and never got around to playing it. I've heard good things about it, though.
Yeah, it's good. Like any sort of, Well, let's talk about mobile games, because the next game that I'm going to talk about is Atom Wolf, which is a port of a mobile title. It's on other platforms. It's on PC, but it's mainly a mobile title. And it works really well, mainly because of direct touch. And it's the same thing with like Asphalt 9. I know there's like a Switch version of it or whatever. But games like that that are that started kind of in the mobile world, I think Google Stadia would be a good fit for some of the better ones just because of the direct touch stuff, which is fantastic. So anyway, back into Atom Wolf, I picked up this game and I tried to start it on Stadia with direct touch. And the first thing you have to do is create a profile. No on-screen keyboard pops up when you're on direct touch. So I was like, oh, okay, quit, open up my web browser, start the game, type in DASME, and then I open it up on my iPad, and then it switches over from my web browser version on my PC to my Stadia version. But that was like a really weird bug to happen right at the start of the game. You'd think that would be fixed. And I don't know if it's just an issue with me using it on iOS on my iPad or if it's an issue on Android as well. But I found that kind of weird. But when I got into Atom Wolf, I really am enjoying it. It's a puzzle detective game with a bunch of different types of gameplay in it. So as you go through the different worlds or different screens, I guess, you have to tap on things to do stuff with them. So you might have to tap on a drawer, open the drawer, rifle around with some papers to find a key. It doesn't really tell you where these things are. So you're kind of like poking around. Then you get into some mini games. So there's mini games for putting things in order. There's mini games for rotating things. There's mini games that are hidden object things where your main character says, oh yeah, my brother gave me that looking glass when I was a child. And you have to look on the screen for what looks like a magnifying glass to tap on it. And then when you do all that stuff, you get rewarded with a treasure of some sort that you can use later in the game. So it's really interesting how they've taken sort of the detective style games like Dark Side Detective, point and click kind of thing, but implements add on a bunch of different gameplay types into it. It's really fun. I'm only maybe halfway through the first chapter and there's four chapters in the game, but I'm having a blast with Atom Wolf. The game is fully voice acted. It's done in a really good way, which is good. Sometimes voice acting on these types of games seems pretty like kind of low rent, but this one is done really well. The gameplay itself is really fun, and I think this is a really good fit for Stadia. These types of games, these hidden object games, these detective games, visual novel games, I think this is a great platform for those types of titles, just because of direct touch and the ability to play on your TV, your computer, whatever. So really, really enjoying my time so far with Atom Wolf.
Yeah, I haven't played Atom Wolf. I probably won't play Atom Wolf, not because I don't think it's a good game, but because I know that me and point and click adventures just don't mix. I always want to like them, and then I play them, and I'm like, this is really cool. And then a puzzle happens, and I'm like, I can't figure out the puzzle because my brain is going one direction, and the developer's brain is going the other direction,
sure.
And never the two shall meet. Right. So then I just get frustrated and then I put it down and I never get back to it. And that happens every single time I do a point and click adventure.
Sure.
It definitely looks good. People in chat are complaining about the on-screen controls a little bit, saying that they're covering up the subtitles. That drives me crazy when games do that. I think I was playing Monster. What's the monster game called again? I can never remember.
Dawn of the Monsters?
Dawn of the Monsters. Yeah, I was playing Dawn of the Monsters and there was like some pop-up. Like, there was text on the top of the screen, and I was trying to read it, but pop-ups kept happening, like, you unlocked a new thing, you unlocked a new thing. And I was like, get out of my way. And the same thing happens on my Xbox when, like, I loaded up Smite, which is one of my favorite MOBAs of all time. And when I loaded it up, it because it has cross-progression, I had tons of achievements that suddenly unlocked on my Xbox. And I hadn't played in forever, and I'm sitting there trying to relearn how to play the game, and all of the UI stuff is at the bottom. And it was just like kept popping up achievements every time I did anything in the game, and I was just like, oh my God, get out of my way. I can't tell what's happening. Like, that's the kind of thing that needs to be caught in QA. It's definitely an issue. But I imagine most people probably are playing with a controller or a mouse and keyboard and probably not using the on-screen controls. I do like to see more games use the on-screen controls with Stadia, though. I think that that's a really important thing, especially when you have a platform that you can take with you wherever you go.
Right.
Being able to play it without having to like clamp a thing onto my phone is very important to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the on-screen controls for Adam Wolf are funny. There are no on-screen controls. The only thing that you have at the top of the screen is your button,
Stadia
button,
to bring
up the director, the Stadia button, and then a screenshot button.
Right.
But they're right at the top of where the gameplay is, and that's where the subtitles go for some people. So it's just like, really? You have one place where it's showing up, and it's showing up at the wrong place. So hopefully they can fix that. But yeah, playing games like this are good. I do run into a bug every once in a while where if I'm playing and, on modern iOS devices, there's no home button. They just have that line on the bottom of your screen. So I find that if I accidentally swipe up that line, I cannot control objects on screen dragging them up anymore. So if I'm trying to drag something from my inventory at the bottom left of the screen and I pick it up and then I drag it up, I have to like try 15 times to get that thing to drag up with my finger. I plugged in my backbone and I immediately was able to just like click on it with my control and then move it up with my analog stick. So hopefully they can work on that. That's obviously a me problem, not a Stadia problem. That's just because I did something stupid on my device. But it's happened multiple times where it's a little bit annoying. So anyway, Adam Wolf, great game. I'm going to happily make my way through that one and solve some puzzles and things like that. And for you, Bill, there's a hint button right at the bottom right of the screen. If you get stuck, you can just hit hint and it gives you a nice prod into the right direction. So it might be a game for you to try.
I know, but then I feel dumb. Whenever I do it, I feel like I hit the hit button and I'm like, why didn't I think of that?
Yeah.
All right, let's move on and talk about two more games that are coming to Stadia. This is on the next up on Stadia, which was posted, on the 28th. And it's Calico and Lake. Lloyd, you want to tell people about Calico?
Calico's weird. If you watch the trailer for Calico, it quickly turns into like Octodad or other like bizarre things where bizarre games where like weird things are happening on screen. So it is it's like a cat cafe builder game where you're making your own cat cafe and bringing pets in and things like that. But it quickly turns into Bizarro World because you have magical powers and you can get potions and things. And later in the trailer, like you're riding a huge cat because you can turn it big. And then there's animals that are turning into people and you're carrying things around. It looks way different than what I thought it was. I thought it was just going to be like a management sim, but it's more than that. It even brings me like kind of like Sky Climbers kind of feels every once in a while with the animals and how you can ride all the animals and things like that. So this one's weird. It's available. I think it was on Game Pass and I was going to check it out to play with my daughter and I never got around to it. So now that it's coming to Stadia, she plays a lot of Stadia games on her Chromebook. This is going to be a game that she's going to fall in love with. This is everything she wants in video games. So I'm really looking forward to this one when it comes out.
Yeah, I remember one of our community members is one of my best friends. He came over to my house and he said, "You're going to play Octodad. Octodad and stream it on Twitch." This is a long time ago. And I didn't own it, so he bought it for me and then sat next to me while I played it and laughed and laughed. And I absolutely hated that game. I just could not stand it. And like, I'm watching this and you're comparing it to Octodad and I'm like, no, thank you. This definitely appeals to somebody. I am not one of those people. I'm sorry. I'm laughing that like there's just a video for the audio listeners. There's this weird video where there's this big, super fat cat.
Yeah.
It is basically a perfect ball and the person is running around on them like they're balancing on top of this poor cat. This game is so weird. The developers are definitely having some kind of fever dream with this thing.
Definitely. And the thing about this one is it's Octodad for me in craziness, not in controls, because it looks like you have pretty decent controls here. Right before the roly-poly cat thing, there was a huge cat, like big, taller than you, but it was cartwheeling behind you as you're walking through the world. So there's some really weird stuff going on here. I like it. I can't wait to play Calico. So I think this is a good get for Stadia.
I do like the art style, though. The art style is really cool. I like all those pastel watercolor kind of thing. It's not a game for me, I can tell just by looking at it, but I do think the art direction is fantastic, and boy, it's unique is definitely something that you could say about that. All right, let's move on and talk about Lake. Have you played Lake? I added it. I think I put it on my Xbox and never got around to it. It's one of those games that's pretty much everywhere, and now it's on Stadia. Have you played it?
I have not. This will be coming out in the near future on Stadia. Lake is a it's kind of an adventure game. It reminds me a lot of like Firewatch, where you're kind of put into a world at a specific point in time. This is set in 1986, mm-hmm. and you're coming home because I think it's like your father passed away and he was a letter carrier. And you have to come and fill in for him for 2 weeks because that's what happens when your parents die, right? You have to go work for them for 2 weeks. Isn't that what happens everywhere?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, you come there and then you can basically be a letter carrier. You can do your duty. You can drive through the city. There's a driving sim put into it. But it's also point and click adventure game. And it looks like there's some like Life is Strange sort of gameplay kind of thrown into it where you're managing relationships and things like that. To me, this game just screams Firewatch for me, which was just a fun game. Which was just a fun game to get through and enjoy the story. Lake looks way better after watching the trailer than what I thought it was just by reading the small little paragraph that was that was dropped in this next up on Stadia. I am very much looking forward to playing through this one. It looks fantastic. So this is another great get for Stadia.
Yeah, this is definitely one that I am interested in. Most of the other ones I've been like, no thanks. But after like your comparison to Firewatch is definitely right on. And I love these games where you have where it's set at a certain time. What was the one that was set in 1970s winter in Kona? Canada?
Kona? Was that the one?
Yeah, Kona. I loved Kona on Stadia. That was just so fantastic. And I love these games that are like, hey, this is a snapshot in time, not modern times, but in like, boy, as somebody who's been around for a whole lot of years, it's nice to go back and see these things and be like, oh yeah, I remember driving cars like that. And pushing the button on the radio and then like the little dial thing would slide over. For those of you that are too young to remember that, that's how we used to change radio stations, or we used 8-tracks and stuff. So I think that this looks really cool, and Calico is a no for me, but Lake is definitely something that I want to try out.
Right. Yeah. Lake looks absolutely fantastic. So I can't wait to play it. And I'm just like you, Bill, these games where they kind of drop you into a world and a time, and you have to kind of just exist there. I love that. It gives you a snapshot of that. And of course, it's good for us. Like, we grew up in the 80s. For someone that is maybe just born in the 20s or 2000s, rather, it's like, okay, what is this? I don't understand. Why are there no cell phones? Like, why is this happening? Like, I don't understand what's happening. Why do you have this little bar on your steering wheel? Like, what does this do? like, all those weird things that we grew up with. It's kind of fun to transport back to that in time a little bit in these game experiences. So yeah, looking forward to Lake very, very much.
Yeah, just talking about that makes me want to go and play Kona again, though, because that game was cool and there was definitely some very interesting things going on with the story, but I got distracted by something and never got back to it. So nice. maybe I'll fire up Kona again this week and see what that's like. Wonderful. All right, Deliver Us the Moon.
Second next up on Stadia in 1 week, Bill. What's this like not talking to us, like not communicating as often thing? They did two next up on Stadias in 1 week. That was great to see.
Yeah, absolutely. And Deliver Us the Moon is a thing. I think I got 1,000 emails about Deliver Us the Moon, and I always ignored it, thinking it was was the one where you had to get the guy to the moon or something, or to the moon. To the Moon. Kerbal? Like,
oh, To the Moon. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I always thought that that's the game that it was talking about. So when I looked at the... what is this thing called? Next Up on Stadia. When I looked at the Next Up on Stadia and I was like, Deliver Us the Moon. Oh, I know what that is. And then I clicked the video and I was like, that's not what I thought it was. This is a different game and it looks really cool.
Yep. Yeah, definitely. It's coming out in April of 2022 on Stadia. This is a thriller. It's kind of like a survival horror game without kind of like the horror part in it. But it's basically the world is ending and you have no more natural resources on planet Earth. And you I guess the world has put together a company or a group of people called what is it? The World Space Agency. And they created a base on the moon to kind of help humans survive. Well, you wake up. And there's nothing. There's nobody on Earth, nobody on the moon that you can communicate. And then you have to kind of figure out what's happening. So you can save mankind or you can just not and just have fun playing around on a space station or eventually on the moon and stuff like that. So it's this game looks fantastic. It is very much a sci-fi thriller. I can't wait to play through it because this is also, like you, Bill, a game that I thought this was like a Kerbal Space Program kind of game where you have to like make a rocket and get to the moon and then play through it. And again, this game fell prey of every single game these days has the same word in it. It's either dark or moon or whatever. Like, so there's so many samey titles. I completely missed this one. So I was glad that that it's coming to Stadia. I could watch the trailer, figure out what this game's going to entail. And I'm looking forward to playing through it.
Yeah, I don't know if this is just for the trailer or not, but I like that there's very little UI elements in the game. It's like, it's doing that. What was the game where it was the horror game in space with the guys that are all twisted and you had to shoot their body parts or whatever?
Dead Space.
I'm getting, like, not Dead Space vibes from the gameplay, but Dead Space vibes from the UI where they have the important information on the character's back. There was another one that was very comic booky on Stadia. It looked very much like a comic book. You played it and finished it. It was super, super short. And this was like 2 months ago. Do you know what game I'm trying to think of?
I do know what game you're trying to think of.
Foreclosed.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And I'm getting that same thing where like the UI is kind of, it's part of the game instead of being a layer on top of the game. And I always like it when games do that kind of thing. This looks really interesting, and I'm definitely going to check Deliver Us the Moon out. It looks fantastic.
Yeah, it really does. It looks absolutely fantastic. So I can't wait to play this one.
All right. And then there's City Legends. I thought it was City of Legends. City Legends, The Curse of the Crimson Shadow Collector's Edition. I tried to find a video of this, but I couldn't. I'm guessing, maybe I'm wrong, this looks like a point-and-click adventure, and it looks like it's a phone game that's been ported. Am I correct in this?
I'm not sure if it's a phone game. It definitely looks like it. This is very much, unlike Adam Wolf, which is a game that has some hidden object parts to it. This looks like it's 100% a hidden object game where you're given a scene and you have to find all the stuff there to get past the scene. I like these games. I was always a fan of these on iPad when iPad was new and games were new on iPad and all these hidden objects games started coming out. I love them, and the fact that Stadia offers direct touch for these types of gameplays or games rather for the gameplay that they require is fantastic. I hope we don't get like a entire flood of these types of games. But having a few, I think is going to be good for the platform.
Yeah. So I just looked it up on my phone and there is a game called City Legends, The Curse. And then this is City Legends, The Curse of the Crimson Shadow. So I'm not sure if it's the same game. Or if it's just like, boy, I'm 99% sure this is the same game. Just looking at the the footage. So this is a mobile port, which nothing wrong with mobile ports. I'm uninterested in mobile ports, but that's just me. And we don't all have to. This is for other people, and that's always okay.
Exactly. Yeah. And this is going to be good for like the younger audience that maybe is playing on their iPad or Android tablet.
Mm-hmm.
Like these types of gameplay experiences coming to the to the Stadia store is good for those types of players. It gives them things to do on their tablet without having to control with a controller. They can just use their finger. Hopefully more experiences like that come out, and not all hidden object games. I think some tower defense titles would be great. Other games along those lines where you can just play mobile and have a good time with it, or you can play with a controller if you choose.
Yeah, but I mean, at the same time, and I don't want to rain on anybody's parade, but I could just install it on my phone. That's the kind of games, like mobile ports on Stadia are fine, but I don't understand the appeal, because the thing about Stadia that makes me excited about the platform is how convenient it is. And installing a game on my phone is probably more convenient than trying to connect to Stadia over like a crappy one bar connection or whatever. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yep. Yeah, I get it.
All right. Let's move on and talk about this tweet from Stadia. It says, got any plans on March 15th? If you don't already, you do now. Mark your calendar, Stadians. You're invited to join us at the 2022 Google for Games Developer Summit, where you can learn more about our plans for Stadia this year. Lloyd, can you remind me, and maybe people in chat can remind me as well, did they say anything like this last year?
I don't believe so.
I don't think so either.
I think they talked about it in like a This Week in Stadia or whatever, that this was coming up, but I don't know if they tweeted about it directly. Obviously, I can't remember tweets from a year ago, but this seems completely new. And usually the Stadia account is tweeting out like game announcements. It's tweeting out other things. But this type of thing would normally just be lost on that account. They wouldn't talk about it at all, which is one of our big complaints, that there isn't that sort of communication from the main fire hose of information, which would be the Stadia Twitter account. So for them to announce this and talk about it, is a good thing. I'm worried that if there's not like some megaton announcements, people are going to just like, I don't know, get mad, be even more angry.
Oh, listen, people are going to get mad no matter what, Lloyd.
fair enough. But it's really good that they're talking about it. This is not something that Stadia would have done. And it maybe shows that there is something here for the consumers. This event is for developers. It's a game developer summit. But hopefully there's enough news right in the kickoff keynote to say, hey, general Stadia user, this is our plan. We're doing this in 2022. We have this plan for 2023. Maybe not give concrete examples of everything, but talk about your big push to get more games, to get better hardware support, to do this, to do that. Hopefully they carve out a chunk of that keynote to go over those types of things, because they sent out that survey, and the number one thing that people wanted was a roadmap across all the different answers. Hopefully this will provide a roadmap. I don't expect a full roadmap, but if it's a little mini roadmap saying this is what we're planning, this is how we're doing it, come join our travel as we make Stadia the best place to play games, or whatever marketing lingo they want to use.
Right.
I think this could be really good for the community. So I'm really excited about this.
Yeah, I'm ready to be disappointed in this because I phrased that wrong. I'm ready for a lot of people to be disappointed in this because the person who is giving the Stadia keynote is Kareen Yap, Strategic Business Development Manager. The people who are going to tune into this hoping for big consumer-focused announcements, I think that they're going to be disappointed. Yep. That being said, just because it's not a consumer-focused announcement doesn't mean that it doesn't have implications for the consumer. But I think a lot of people are going to tune into this and they're going to be like, well, that didn't like blow my socks off or anything. And I'm going to say, well, that's because it wasn't for you. It was for publishers. It was for getting people to partner with Stadia to maybe either bring their games to Stadia Pro or that kind of thing. And I think that most people who tune into this, who are they're fans of Stadia, they're going to walk away from this feeling very let down. And it's because of their expectations. And I just saying, temper your expectations. This is not like the person who's giving this is talking to a different audience, in my opinion.
Right. Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. This, I mean, they're talking, like, they call it the Stadia keynote. You don't normally have a keynote for a development session that isn't, here, look at all these new development tools that we've generated for you. So this seems like it's more than that. I don't think this is going to be something that could air at, like, E3, for example. Like, a look at Stadia, this is all the great stuff we have. This isn't a PlayStation or Xbox keynote kind of thing. But I hope they carve out enough time to sort of, I don't know, calm down the masses, get rid of the narrative that is still on Twitter, that Stadia is dead after that Business Insider article. Hopefully they can kind of direct the ship back on course just a little bit, at least in the public eye. I'm also being prepared to be disappointed, like you, Bill, that they're just going to talk about, this is what we're doing. We're getting more games. We're working with other business partners. We're white labeling. There you go. That's Stadia update, which is sad.
Right. Yeah. I agree with that. I think that, you know, you mentioned the E3 thing. That's what I think a lot of people are going to expect, and they're going to be let down because it's not going to be that kind of thing. Boy, oh boy, do we need that kind of thing. Like, they need to have a Stadia Connect to talk to their customers. And I like, some people are going to rightly say that they are talking to their customers. Their customers are now the publishers who they want to white label stuff. And I can understand that. But they also have other customers, customers like us, that they need to talk to. And they just haven't been talking to them enough, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. The one positive for me with this, well, there's a lot of positives.
Yeah, there is a lot of positives. Everybody thinks I'm super down on this. I think this is great. I just think that people are going to be upset.
Another positive for me is the fact that when they first announced this summit, there was two Stadia sessions. There was Playtesting Made Easy and How to Write a Windows Emulator on Linux from Scratch. Well, now there's five. So either that was always the plan, or they've seen, hey, this is a good way to get the word out. But now they're doing the Stadia keynote, Playtesting Made Easy on Stadia, How to Write a Windows Emulator on Linux from Scratch, Stadia Adventures in Slow Server Code on Unity, and Profiling on Stadia. So more Stadia sessions probably would have been there already, but it's really good to see that they're at least bringing this to the public's note. Hey, we're talking about Stadia. Stadia is not going away. We wouldn't run this if Stadia was dead. So let's stop saying that. We're clearly talking about this with developers. So yeah, we'll see what happens. The 15th could be sad. It could be amazing. It's probably just going to be somewhere in the middle. There's going to be people that are really angry, people that are really happy. And yeah, that'll be kind of how things go. But personally, I'm really looking forward to seeing what Google has to say about the platform going forward here.
Yeah. And you talk about, you know, Stadia is not dead, but people on Twitter seem to think so. If it were dead, they would not be hiring and filling out roles for AAA porting teams along with white labeling stuff. And that's what somebody, Alcon Veniche, sorry if I pronounced your name wrong there, Redditor, they found that Stadia is hired. They have two new openings for the porting team and six openings in general for Stadia. So I think that that's really, really good news. The porting team description, it says the Stadia porting team seeks to drastically, this is really good news, I like this, drastically reduce or even eliminate the work required for partners to bring their existing AAA games to Stadia and Google Stream. This is something that Lloyd and I have been calling for ever since last February when they made that big announcement that they were shutting down SG&E. Lloyd and I were like, great, do that. That's fine. Don't make your own games, but take the team that you have and focus them on porting other people's games to your platform, because the team that you have knows your platform inside and out. And that means we would get the best possible ports. And of course, they, like, a lot of people left because they didn't want to be on the porting team. They wanted to be on the I want to make a game team. And so they left and went to do other things like making games. But, you know, Google hires people to do exactly what Lloyd and I have been talking about. And I'm not saying that they, like, got the idea from us. I'm sure that they were doing this all along. But we've been just talking about it a lot. And then they also have six openings for white labeling, which is not as exciting to me, but definitely something that is important. What are your thoughts on this, Lloyd?
Yeah, I really like it. The Stadia porting team description that you read out to reduce or even eliminate the work required for partners to bring their existing AAA games to Stadia, that is a good thing. If Google's taking the stance now compared to the other one, which is here's the SDK, port your games to Stadia, you're going to love it. And now it's give us your games, we will port them to Stadia as quickly as we humanly can. That's a good thing. Like maybe they're working on tools that sit as an intermediary between, say, a Steam version of a game and it all the Steam calls to unlock achievements, start friends list, bring up the friends list, save games. Maybe they have some stuff translation layer in there, similar to like a Proton thing, but for a specific platform to take all those calls and then translate them into Stadia calls, which would mean your binary that you have that exists that runs on PC could maybe just run on Stadia by having this layer in the middle to translate some of this stuff. Obviously, we don't know this. It's just an idea that I threw out there. And if they're working on tools like that to make PC porting faster, that's going to be amazing for Stadia because there'll be nothing to stop people from putting it on Steam, putting it on Epic Games Store, and then doing a port to get it over on Stadia as well. So hopefully they, during this event on the 15th, they talk more about that. There's a session all about writing a Windows emulator on Stadia or for Stadia. Maybe they'll talk more about that. That's the part of this that I'm really excited about. The hiring and the communication that they're doing this makes me really excited to see what exactly this is. If it's just, hey, if you want to go on Google Stream, you can run your Windows games. If you want to go on Stadia, you still need to tie into the Stadia SDK. Mm-hmm. That won't speed up the acquisition of new games for your platform. But if they found some other way to do it to make it like low-hanging fruit for a development team, I think that would be really good for Stadia. So anyway, we'll see what happens. The 15th isn't that far away. I'm excited to see what they have to say.
Yeah, and yeah, it's right around the corner, almost no time at all. All right, let's move on to the super chats that came in during the show. Thank you very much for supporting the show. We do appreciate that. We got a super chat that came in from Jared Bruner. They said, crowd choice, stream share, direct touch. Which of these features do you think other companies would be wise to copy? Lloyd, I'm going to let you go first. What do you think? Which one do you think would be the best for everybody else to steal?
I mean, a lot of that stuff already exists. Like direct touch is already on other platforms as well. Like you can do that on xCloud. You can do that on Luna, I believe. The one that would be really good is I'm blanking on the name of it, where I could see what Bill's doing in my game.
Stream share.
Is that Stream Share or Stream Connect?
Stream Connect. Yes. Yeah. I think that they typed it wrong.
All sorts of weird names.
Stream Connect
jumbled up in my brain. Stream Connect for me was the biggest mind-blowing thing ever on Stadia. Like we jumped into that Tom Clancy game early on because it was the first one with it, and it blew me away that I could watch what other people are doing. I could see what their plans are. I could see them edit their inventory to see what kind of weapons they have. And then a bunch of other games have had it, but not every game that is multiplayer. I think that is a staple for multiplayer games going forward. It is so handy to be able to see what your teammates are doing. If it's a game that isn't just like a battle arena, Halo kind of first person shooter, but if it's something that is cooperative, having that would be just amazing in any platform that can do it.
Yeah, and boy, it's a lot easier to get a good experience with that doing it on a cloud-based platform because you don't have to worry about the other person's upload or whatever. Like imagine if I'm playing with somebody and they've got like the cheapest possible internet that they can have, which is fine for doing a multiplayer game, but then they turn on, like let's say we're playing on Xbox or something, and they turn on that feature, it's not going to be a good experience. Like it's going to be all stuttery. It's going to slow everything down. It's going to cause a whole bunch of problems. It's going to be a bad experience. And so people just won't use it. Mm-hmm. And so I can see Stream Share or Stream Connect working on Luna or GeForce Now and Stadia and maybe Xbox Cloud. Mm-hmm. But I don't see it working. I mean, I don't see it being used extensively on hardware platforms.
Oh, no.
Definitely even not. Though I think you can do it on PlayStation, but on PS5, but I just don't see it being used very often because the possibility for it being a bad experience would drive publishers away from incorporating it.
Yeah, 100%. That would be something that only a cloud service could really do, just because of the way that they can build that frame before they send it to you using other streams that already exist, instead of it being 5 seconds behind because of all the stuff having to go to a server, get bundled, sent to the game client, and then sent to your eyeballs on the screen. But for me, that is the biggest feature in cloud gaming that blew my mind and made me think, yeah, this couldn't be done on a standard console, not in this way. And I want more games to have it. Unfortunately, there's only a few games that really have that functionality built in.
Yeah, I'd also would like to see, I can never remember what it's called. It's the one where, like, you could be streaming on YouTube and people can just click a button and join your game, like, super easy without, like, having to be friends or whatever. Like, that was a really, I can't remember what it's called, but it was a crowd play.
Crowd play.
Yeah.
Crowd
play. I thought that was really cool. And I also really liked how crowd choice worked. Crowd choice can be built into games. It doesn't have to be built into like a platform. But it's definitely a good question, Jared. Thank you very much for the support. Consino sent in a super chat. They said, it seems like it would be cheaper for Google to pay their own employees to help publishers port their games and troubleshoot than to pay publishers tens of millions for the port. Yes, that's exactly why Google's doing it this way, and it's exactly why Lloyd and I have been harping on this as what they should do forever. So, you know, Consino, way to take what we said and put it in a very easy to understand sentence rather than Bill rambling for 5 minutes about something.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it definitely would be a hell of a lot cheaper for Google to do that. And maybe that was part of the impetus for getting rid of SG&E. They're like, you know what? We'll get one game in 5 years and we're going to pay X number of millions of dollars. What if we didn't? What if we did this instead? That could have been part of their math that they did on the back of the cocktail napkin to figure out what would be the best way forward. But yeah, having a porting team built in means you don't need companies like QLock and High Voltage Software and other companies that do a lot of porting for other platforms. Your porting is built in as part of your agreement with Google to bring something on that platform. Yeah, hopefully we hear more about what Google's plan for that is at this Google Game Developer Summit. But I'm sure that most of the stuff is tied up in NDAs and things like that. So we won't get all the concrete information.
This would have been something that they, in my opinion, I think that they're, I mean, hindsight's 2020.
Yeah.
This kind of thing where they're having their employees do the porting, this should have been something that they said last year. Like, they should have said, this is what our plan is, instead of just saying we're shutting down SG&E because it's way too expensive to make our own games and we're not going to see anything from that for a long time. They should have said, here's what we're going to do instead, and been completely transparent. And I don't think that there's no way that they didn't have this as the plan all along. Like, this has to have been their plan. But why they didn't tell people, I think, is because they got just a little too gun shy from all of the nonstop Twitter attacks that come at them. And they were just like, well, we just won't say anything and we'll just put our heads down and keep working. And I think that that's still what they're doing, because it's not like they're talking about this. They're hiring and people are looking at LinkedIn or whatever and seeing where like who's hiring and stuff. So it's definitely interesting. And I still think that if you put all the cloud platforms like on a ranking scale, I still think Stadia has the one that I like the most because of its own platform. Like, it is a platform where you can go and buy games and play games. It's not a subscription only model. It's not just a hardware rental. It's a platform where you can go and play games. And I think that that's a really good thing. And unfortunately, most people don't quite understand that that's what it is.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of the Stadia model of doing things. I like having the free games every month with a subscription, But also like the fact that you can just onesie twosie buy games as you mm-hmm. want. It's not an all or nothing kind of service, which is really great. So yeah, we'll see what Google has planned for it. I'm hopeful for the future that we'll continue to get big AAA games. I mean, we missed out on Elden Ring, and everyone's is basically putting out candles and rest in peace type signs on their houses. I don't think we're quite there yet. I hope that with this newfound focus on porting, that maybe we'll start getting some of these big games in the very, very near future. Time will tell. You can't predict the future all the time, unfortunately, especially with an industry as quick moving as the cloud gaming industry.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, everybody, that does it for today's episode of StadiaCast. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. Lloyd, tell everybody goodbye.
Yeah, thanks everybody for coming out and joining us on StadiaCast. We do this every Sunday right here on nerdnest.tv. We'll see you here next week. Have a good one, everybody.